Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is our first show officially for the month, and it is the Pokemon Show. We're going to be talking the Pokemon remakes, and Wes, you are here with me.
Indubitably.
Thank God for that. You have no idea how glad I am you're here.
You got loose hair. I think that's a dog's on your head.
Stop judging. Stop judging me. Stop judging
me. It's really long and it's white.
Well, no, I'm just old. But I did an official show a few days ago by myself, and my God, it was a train wreck.
An official show?
Yeah, I did some news and some E3 predictions. Well, not really predictions, but like an outline of E3.
Wow.
And it was pretty bad. I was a little bit hesitant to actually post it, but it had been a little bit over a week since we had posted a show, so I needed to get something up. And if you've listened to it, sorry. If you haven't listened to it, don't. Because I knew, like, recording about 20 minutes in that it was going to be terrible. And it is about 40 minutes long.
You have another hair in your life.
Would you stop?
It's a dog hair. I don't want you to...
You know what?
Those things are, like, the worst.
We are recording remotely from now on. I don't want you sitting here and judging me on my appearance on the whole
show. It's still there.
Stop looking at it.
It's in your mouth.
Okay.
I'm looking out for
you. Now it is in my mouth. Yeah,
I'm looking out for you.
I tasted it.
Trying to help you here.
On my tongue. So should we talk about some Pokemon?
I guess.
Okay. So we're going to be talking about...
Sounds like really ADD and it's driving me insane.
That's all right.
So,
yeah, here we go.
Pokemon.
Yeah, we'll start with Fire Red and Leaf Green, which are, of course, remakes of the Red and Blue version.
Yeah, fair enough.
The reason I decided to bring up remakes is because there is the remake of Ruby and Sapphire coming up.
Quick pause.
Yeah,
though.
Please.
What do we have left to rank?
Bug and Dragon.
Okay.
And yeah, we'll get to that.
I was just curious. I just thought of it randomly.
Yeah.
All right.
Once me and Ryan finish our Nuzlocke discussion, we'll get back to ranking those two. Because I think after we Nuzlocke the third gen, we're going to start a fourth gen Nuzlocke, but we'll kind of break it up with some rankings in between.
Cool.
Because, well, we wanted to save Dragon for last, and Bug is a severely underrated type, so... Fire Red and Leaf Green. The reason I wanted to discuss... remakes in addition to the Ruby Sapphire remake coming up is that I actually did start a Nuzlocke of Fire Red and Leaf Green in between like segments that me and Ryan are playing through Ruby and Sapphire. So terribly. It went really, really poorly, actually. And we discussed this off the show. I decided to start with a Charmander.
Which, the second you said Charmander,
It's definitely the most challenging way to start. And they even, like, tell you that. Like, I don't know if you remember, but in these remakes, when you're picking your first Pokemon, like, the first one on, like, the desk is Bulbasaur. And, like, they'll give, like little comments.
This is easy mode.
Yeah, well, yeah, he'll give little comments like that about each Pokemon. Like, Bulbasaur, he's easy to raise. And Squirtle, he grows quite well, or something to that extent. And Charmander, he says, Charmander, this Pokemon you'll have to raise patiently. So he was basically saying, get ready, motherfucker, you're about to get wrecked. Because the first two gyms, of course, rock and water. But in the first route, aptly named Route 1, I caught a Rattata. And then up on Route 2, I caught a Pidgey. And then the Viridian Forest, I caught a Caterpie. So, you know, pretty standard team going in. And I figured that with Caterpie raising up to a Butterfree, I'd have that psychic move and a decent special attack to be able to take out Brock. And I even tried to get a little bit of insurance, because on Route 22, which is west of Viridian, there's a small patch of grass before you have your first rival battle, which is totally missable. There's a chance that you can get a Mankey, and having a fighting type to actually play some type alignments.
Did you actually do the rival match?
I did. Yeah, and he was easy enough with Mr. Pidgey and Mr. Butterfree. But I wasn't able to get a Mankey because my first encounter was a Rattata. My second encounter was a Mankey, which was just fucking great.
Because, you know, fuck you.
Yeah, because the game was taunting me at that point. But Brock just totally wrecked me. Just destroyed me. Like, I went in...
Did you cuddle afterwards?
No, actually.
He had to have bought you dinner first.
No, not even that. I just, he went
rude.
In. I, you know, went to town with his junior trainer and he got revenge. But, you know, I didn't have a Pikachu and the sprinklers were not functional, so I couldn't win. But fucking, he like, his Onix knew Rock Tomb, which he did not No, and the original version.
All he knew was like bide and daggle.
Yeah, which made it real easy to go through with a Butterfree. But yeah, it that rock tomb took out Butterfree really quickly. And Butterfree's double weak to rock because he's a bug flying, so he was totally fucked. So let's actually get into the actual remake. Because I think I am going to keep playing past my Nuzlocke failure here. I went back and caught a Pikachu, so I might just keep on pushing through the game. But the Nuzlocke is over.
So how did you actually beat the boss, though? Beat Brock, though?
I did more grinding, basically. I grinded and grinded and got to the point where I was just at a high enough level.
Okay, so after you lost to him, you gave up on the Nuzlocke and retrained all your guys that died.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I revived them. No, Nuzlocke was over, game over, so I just kind of continued a normal game off.
I'd start all over. It's the first gym.
Well,
grab yourself a Bulbasaur, be a little bitch.
No, I'm not doing that.
Give it another shot.
No, I won't use a poison type because poisons are the worst type. So, I went there.
Yeah, way to be a dick.
So, Fire Red and Leaf Green, like I said earlier, are remakes of Red and Blue version. And you might be asking yourself, why are they called Red and Green if they are remakes of Red and Blue? Well, I'll tell you. Unless you already know.
No, go. Educate me, Jonathan.
Well, because in Japan, Pokemon was released in two versions, like it was in North America and everywhere else in the world. Except it was released as Red and Green version. So by doing Fire Red and Leaf Green, they're kind of doing a callback to the original versions released in Japan. Japan had a blue version as well, but blue version was released as an update to Red and Green version in Japan because those versions were notoriously buggy. And actually, the red and blue that we got here were ports or localizations of that blue version because it was the best version available to port
now
over.
Now we know.
Yep. Did you feel edified for knowing?
Ooh, big word.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
That's my English major coming through. Putting it to good use.
Yep.
It's actually an English
minor.
You've
done good, John.
Deal. Yeah, thank you. I feel like I've made it now that we have a 4-year podcast that tens of people listen to.
Don't say that. You break my heart, John.
That's all right. We don't do it for that.
Why am I bothering? Why am I? I'm leaving.
We do it.
I'm done.
Do it for
no,
us.
No. Tens
no,
of people.
I wouldn't,
I'm done. I'm done.
I wouldn't deal with it. No, come back.
I've
come
wasted
back. No.
4 years of my life on you.
You would waste it on something else. Don't even worry about it. Don't do it for us. I do it for you. And actually, I should never do it without you here, as I learned last week.
It's all for you, Jonathan. It's all for you.
Should we even continue the show, or should we turn the mics off and have a moment?
Why turn them off?
Oh, it's gotten weird. So, Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green were the first full real remakes of the first generation, but I guess you could kind of consider going into the Kanto region in Gold and Silver kind of a remake. I mean,
you can't really do it because they changed it up.
They did. They made it shittier, which was weird because it was a Game Boy Color game, so the system was technically capable of more. And there's a huge difference between Red and Blue version and a Gold and Silver version, but going back to Kanto version after you've been to Johto in that same game, the Kanto just felt really run down and shitty.
Yeah.
It was filled with bikers. It was kind of the hood. Kanto was.
Kanto became the hood.
In the second generation. But in this version, they've made it look really nice in the remakes. They have totally redone environments. They have redone sprites, and the sprites are really nice looking. It does not have the fat Pikachu. It has just the normal looking Pikachu. It was a really big jump from the Game Boy Color, the Game Boy Advance sprites were. There were no any of those weird stumps. You know how in the first generation Pokemon game, the barriers to keep it from going places was basically stumps, and then past them was just nothing. And this one, they actually used trees.
Yes.
It just makes it look nicer. Just a little bit of landscaping goes a long way. There are remixed music, of course, redone music from the GBA hardware, so it sounds really nice. The gyms were redone. They're not quite as vacant. They're more stylized to the particular gym leader in there. There's more trainers. Like when I was first going through the Viridian Forest to my doomed Nuzlocke, there's like two or three additional trainers just in the forest there, which is nice because a lot of times in those first generation games, I can't remember how many times I've played through them, but you have to spend a lot of time grinding. And one of the better places to do it is actually in the forest because you have a chance of running into like Metapods and Kakunas who give out more experience than like Pidgeys and Rattatas. Yeah. So, and also the Seafoam Islands, like the remake of the Seafoam Islands is fantastic because going, like, if you ever tried to go back to the Game Boy versions of this generation, they seem nearly unplayable. Like, everything is just kind of disjointed and vacant, and the Seafoam Islands are incredibly difficult to navigate because they don't actually show, like, the currents flowing. It's just...
Oh, yeah.
You're trying to surf around. It's like, oh, no, you can't surf here because the current is going too fast. Like, great, okay, well, I'll have to push some rocks around and then see if I can find the right rocks to change that current and then come back and see if it worked. But no, it changed the current in this different area. Yeah, the Seafoam Islands were a pain in the ass. But they're actually playable in this version. It made a couple of additions to the game. First of all, the third generation actually started this, but in this version... you do have the distinction between special attack and special defense.
That's good.
Yeah, it's not just the special stat. However, it doesn't yet have any distinction in this version between moves that are physical and special. So basically all fire moves are special, all normal moves are physical. I think flying moves are considered physical. So you have moves that are either special or physical based on their type rather than like individual distinctions. Like you have both physical fire moves and special fire moves. Mm-hmm. You only have one or the other. So in this version, there's really no point to having a fire type with a high physical attack unless you're going to teach them like some rock moves too or something.
Yeah.
Also, this game, the remake doesn't do much to balance out the types. Of course, it's just the first generation Pokemon, so you don't have any dark types. You have like the Steel Magnemite, but he's the only steel type in the game, unless you can think about any other first generation guys that are also steel type.
No. There isn't. It's just Magnemite.
You also have you have dark moves, even though you don't have dark type Pokemon. The most prominent one that pops out like is Bite. I think Crunch is in the game as well, but Bite is a dark type move. But dark type moves are special in this particular generation. So there were a couple of times where I tried to run through the game with using a Gyarados, and of course. You know, in any other version of the game, when you get a Gyarados and he learns Bite, super useful.
Oh, yeah.
Really fantastic Pokemon because he's got a high physical attack. His special attack isn't awful, but it's not very good either. So when he learns Bite, it's a dark special move in this version. So he's not quite as useful as he's been in the past. It doesn't do much to balance out the types because Psychic is still king. Like, if you have a really strong psychic type, you basically win the game. They added, of course, Pokemon natures. So, you know, you can adjust your Pokemon stats depending
now,
on the nature.
In this version, it didn't show you what the natures gave or didn't. Like, the other ones, they color-code them.
Right.
So, in this game, you actually had to look it up, correct?
Yes.
Which is bothersome.
Yeah, it is. Either look it up or memorize like the 16 or what 20 different natures that you can have.
That.
No,
I'm
neither
not doing that.
That's ridiculous.
I get that like tattooed on my body or something. I don't remember that.
Like on your forearm, and like
it just says joyful nature. Blah blah blah. Yeah, okay.
You're on a date and like they ask you about your tattoo. Well, let me tell you about Pokemon.
Let's go down the rabbit hole of Pokemon. This is a special journey we're doing.
And
together
see,
here.
And well, you know that might not be a bad tattoo because either she reads it and wonders about it and you have to explain to her for an hour and you never see her again, or she knows exactly what it is off the bat and then that's your wife. So I don't really have too much else to say about Fire Red and Leaf Green other than it's a really fantastic nostalgia trip. This really is the best way to play the first generation because of the overall facelift, and the battles move quicker because it's better hardware. There are a couple of weird little hiccups. Do you remember, in the remakes, the Fire Red and Leaf Green, you get the running shoes only after you beat the first gym. So you're stuck with...
Oh, yeah. That was annoying.
Yeah, you're stuck with walking speed until you get until you start going on the path to Mount Moon. That was a little bothersome. I was playing the beginning of the game because almost every other game now gives them to you either right off the bat or very, very quickly. Oh, also, one other cool little thing. I can't remember if this is correct, but maybe you know. When you're in the Sylph building, when you're fighting Team Rocket in the big building in Saffron City, do you remember, do they tell you the floors after you use the teleport panels?
No.
Because I know in the original first generation games they did not. You're totally lost. And I thought I remember them telling you in the remakes here, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think so.
That would be really handy.
Because Sylph Tower was always like the most annoying thing to me in the world, because I kept on getting lost.
Yeah, well, there's a quick way to do it. First, you want to get yourself to the fifth floor. Because the fifth floor in like the bottom right corner that has the card key, then you just open every door. And then what you want to do first is, after you get the card key, go up to the ninth floor and clear the path to the beds where you can just heal.
Okay.
And then after that, you just go floor by floor. And for some reason, your rival is waiting in there for you.
I mean, where are the cops during all of this?
Where are the police? They're just running rampant throughout.
Whoa, this we're Team Rocket, ready for a battle? No, I got a gun. Let's go to jail. Come on. I'm not wasting my time with this.
Put them in handcuffs. Have their stupid Rattatas try to chew through the bars.
That's all it is. Rattatas and
Venonats. Yeah,
that's Venonats. All they got. I mean, come on. I
think they're going to take over the world with a bunch of Rattatas. That's adorable. And Zubats.
That sounds like a teenage... Well, it's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle villain, and that didn't do well for him.
Oh, the Rat King.
The Rat King.
Yes, indeed.
That didn't work out for him.
No, sure. Well, like, yeah, he couldn't even take over the fucking sewers.
He can't even beat the turtles. Come on, man.
He was basically just a homeless man.
Pretty much.
The Rat King. Except he, like, wrapped bandages around his face to make him look sinister. I
know homeless people would do that, too.
Do you really? How many homeless people do you associate with?
I did work in Colonial.
Yeah, that's true.
There was a lot of homeless people there.
We're getting really region-specific now.
One of them, like... pimped his wife out on the curb while he sat in the shade.
Do you want to talk about Pokemon?
It was pretty bad.
Let's move on.
It was pretty messed up.
Okay. Well, you want to say anything else about these Fire Red, Leaf Green remakes?
No.
Okay.
You pretty much got all the notes and all the bases covered.
Let's move to Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
And Soul Silver.
So, what do you think?
Awesome.
Yes, go on.
Yes, it's really good.
Yeah, it really is. And to me, this is the best Pokemon game, bar none.
Yeah, hands down, definitely.
The redesigned gyms, the revamped graphics, the like enhanced environmental effects, like you have like different kind of weather patterns going on in different
the
regions.
The fact you can use any Pokemon at any time.
True, yeah, you don't have to expand the national decks before you can just start transferring guys.
Which was always a lot of fun. We could just make whatever teams we wanted to and just run through it.
Yeah, you made a revamped Steel team.
Yep.
With that one.
Yep, that one was really good.
Who was on it? Because I know you moved Lucario.
I've done a few. Like, yeah, I had Lucario, Steelix, Skizzer.
Mm-hmm.
Probably use Fortress anyways, because Fortress is just fun to have. Skarmory.
All right. Well,
Magneton.
Okay.
I don't know.
Most of those are pretty good. I mean, Skarmory, yeah. But, you know, a little bit overrated.
Don't Skarmory.
Skarmory. I mean, he's definitely the worst bird you could use, that's for sure. But,
careful, Johnny boy.
So.
Careful.
Aside from the vast visual improvements over the Game Boy Color versions, it had a lot of the modern touches, like the running shoes that you get just like in the next town over in Cherry Grove. You just talk to the guy who shows you around town, and after he chews your ear off about stuff you already know, he gives you a pair of old shoes, which you wear and makes you run faster. Because Pokemon.
Because Pokemon.
Oh, you also have, the distinction between physical and special in attack and defense. And you have the distinction between physical and special moves. They made that adjustment in the fourth generation. And this game came out after the fourth generation.
And the sprites were bare, so you had the distinction between boys and girls.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, and, you know, some of them is easier to tell than others, but, like, the one that stands out to me is Sneasel, because the male Sneasels have longer ears. And the
females, I was just talking about people. I was just making a joke.
Oh, like the actual NPCs?
Yeah. You just ruined my joke.
Yeah, well, it wasn't great.
But, yeah, also.
That was the Skarmory of jokes. It was all right. It wasn't great.
Oh, you bastard.
One of the really cool things I like about Heart Gold and Soul Silver, though, is there's lots of stuff to do in the actual, like, after you beat the Elite Four, in the end game. Of course, you know, you have this whole Kanto region to go through and collect more badges, and it's not a total shithole like it was in the original versions. You get to fight Red at the top of Mount Silver.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. One of the cool things that they added in this remake is that you can gather up all of the gym leaders in one place and fight them all consecutively.
Yep.
So it's tough to do if you're not using a guide, but pretty much what you have to do is
find them in certain days and certain times.
Exactly. And I actually made a list, and I don't know if it still exists because it was on our website way, way, way back in the day. It probably doesn't exist anymore.
Because our website doesn't exist.
Right. Because fuck that shit. Why would I write about games when we just talk about them?
Yeah, a lot easier.
We always take the easy way out.
Well, yeah, we're lazy.
Yeah. We dedicate an entire show to Pokemon.
See, it's funny because we'll put forth hours and hours and hours playing these games, being meticulous about collecting all the things, but we won't take 10 minutes to write up a quick little article in the game.
No, but I'd rather spend 10 minutes talking about it. It's more amusing to me, and I think anyone who chooses to listen rather than read.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
10 minutes, you might be able to write like a couple of good paragraphs, but in, you know, 10 minutes, you have 10 minutes worth of talking. Like, I think you get more.
Yeah, but in 10 minutes of talking with Wesley, you get his sidetracks and ADD,
which is what makes the show good.
Oh, John, I love you too.
Please, oh God, we're touching again. All right, moving on. So, and I made a list of all of like the places you meet them, and then when you meet them, you have to get their phone numbers and then call them at a certain time. And there's a way you can do it by basically going through, it takes you a week, because the game not only keeps track of day-night cycles and time, but it also keeps track of days of the week, and they're out and about in certain days of the week. And it takes a week to get everyone gathered in one place, and then you can fight them not all at once, but consecutively. But it's a really cool thing to see all of the Kanto and Johto gym leaders all together in one room. But it can be a huge chore. But it's a really cool payoff. One thing that you do, like you could gather from that, is that the phone bank is a lot bigger. Because in the original versions, you could like have 10 people in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like most of those, like some of them you can't delete. Like you have to keep like Professor Oak, and you have to keep. Like your mom. Your mom's always in your phone. And the other 8 spaces, you basically just want to fill up with certain trainers who will tell you when Pokemon swarm. Which they still do in this version, but you can also, like, you also have room for people who actually call you and want to battle quite a bit. So, like, in the original versions, you basically, like, have the 7 people who tell you who's swarming. Your mom, Professor Oak, and then Wade the Bug Catcher. Because you have to have Wade.
Of course.
Yeah, because why not?
There's always this one fisherman who had a bunch of Magikarp that I did as well, because eventually when you go back and find him, he just has a bunch of Gyarados, and that's a really good little quick experience boost.
Was he the guy after the first town, or not the first town, after the town with Bellsprout Tower, the name of which?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's down on the dock.
Yeah, I think he might be the guy who also tells you when Quillfish is swarming.
Cool.
So yeah, double useful right there.
There we go.
Oh, one other really cool like end game thing that I wanted to mention. After you beat the Elite Four, you still have rival encounters. And all throughout Kanto, well, not all throughout Kanto, but in certain places in Kanto, he's encountering you and he's still battling you and wondering why he sucks. but then on Mount Moon, like the final encounter you have with him, he says he's going to go and train with Claire. And you can actually go back to the town where Claire is, the dragon trainer, and have a double battle, you and your rival versus Claire and Lance. And that's a really cool battle.
Yep.
As it's just a really cool, like, little optional thing. You probably, you know, if you never went back and looked, you probably wouldn't even know it was there unless, you know, you saw a guide. So we've run through this game tons of times. And we've used a ton of different teams. That's actually how this, like, Pokemon spinoff got started. Like, we decided that we were just going to run through this version of the game until we've used all 250. Which we haven't, we're not finished yet.
Oh, God.
We haven't done it all yet.
I seriously want to go back to that. I was hoping you'd forget.
I don't seriously want to go back to it, actually, no, because we can take a quick look at the guides we haven't used.
Oh, God.
And see how much we don't want to go back to it. But, you know, maybe, like, one day here or there, we will use some of these Pokemon. But, like, we would, like, try to do a run-through of this game every month.
Yes.
And we're not even, like, doing Nuzlockes in a whole month. We're, like, breaking it up between 4 or 5 months. So we're definitely not going
to
do
a Rattata to do.
Yeah, we still got Rattata. We're definitely not going to, like, try to do, like, a full team in 1 month. If we go back to it, we'll do a couple months. We haven't used any of the Nidorins because Queen and King are overrated. Sandslash, Clefairy, Jigglypuff. A Golbat, like, Crobat would be cool to use.
Yeah, Crobat would be cool.
You like Parasect.
I do.
Persian, Poliwrath. Poliwrath is all right, not great.
But we gotta use everybody. We're doing this for using Tentacool.
Yeah. Oh, we haven't used Rapidash or Slowbro yet. Farfetch is, God, he's one of my favorites. I love Farfetch.
But he sucks.
Yeah, but he's my favorite.
I'd much rather have a Skarmory.
If I were just building a brute force team, I'd probably agree. Skarmory would be a better choice than Farfetch. But I love Farfetch. He's awesome. Grimer, Muk, Evolution, Cloyster. Oh, Exeggutor, he'd be good.
Yeah, Exeggutor is good. Name only Machan.
Lickitung,
maybe we'll do a mix-up thing where I'll do one and you do the other.
Yeah, I think we've discussed that before. I think, yeah, that's probably a good way to do it. Chansey, who's really cool. Kangaskhan. Starmie. We got to use Starmie. Actually, I think in the Fire Red version I got going right now, I'm going to try to find a Staryu and take him up to Starmie. Seaking, Mr. Mime. We haven't used Scyther or Skizzer yet. Pinsir. Oh, God, using a Ditto is going to suck. Lapras, Porygon, the fossils, the legendaries. Yeah.
Oh, we got Ditto. That's funny.
I think we got enough still for like 4 or 5 teams.
Yeah, that would be great.
One day we'll get through it all.
Oh, God.
But anyway, we got sidetracked again.
Yep.
So, Heart Gold and Soul Silver, it's a really vibrant world with a lot going on. One of the things that I like about this generation of games is that in every town that you go to, every location, there's something going on. So it's not just walk into the town, find the gym, get the fuck out. Which is something that I've encountered a lot in the third generation as we're doing the Nuzlocke. Is a lot of it is just find the next town, fight the next gym, leave. This one, you know, there's Bellsprout Tower, there's Union Cave, there's the Slowpoke Well. Everywhere you go, there's something, there's the radio tower, there's something going on, some like little story event where it's like Team Rocket or something going on that, you know, requires you to go and investigate and actually like play like a little side section of the game, which really, like, all this side stuff that's going on while you're collecting badges is really the actual story of the game, whereas in a lot of other versions the story of the game is just you going around and collecting badges. But like this whole revival of Team Rocket is the actual narrative. So, it also has a really nearly perfect balance of Pokemon, like the different types you can get and where you're encountering Pokemon and when. It's not just like you're encountering Rattatas and Pidgeys throughout the whole map. Also, something that they never really expanded upon, like it stuck around a little bit, but it was most prominent in this game, is the different Pokemon you get during like day and night cycles.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, it was actually pretty prominent. Like, these Pokemon you can only get at night, these ones you can only get during the day, and they're just kind of scattered around the whole map.
Well, it wasn't even day. Like, you could catch Spinarax at night, mm-hmm. and then Ladybug in the morning.
Right. There was, like, that third time of day, like, the morning cycle. And, yeah, that it's something that, you know, there are still day and night cycles in Pokemon games, and there are still, you know, Pokemon who are more prominent at night, but it's never been like as heavily emphasized as it was in this game, which I don't know, might make a little bit of sense because kids have bedtimes and they can't stay up all night trying to catch Pokemon, I guess, but I don't think it's Nintendo's job to raise my children.
Yeah, I just changed the time of my DS.
Yeah, that's a good idea too. But and well, yeah, I guess you could do that. I don't know. Could you change the time in the original Game Boy cartridges? Like, you could set the time, but after you set it, could you reset it?
I don't know on that one.
Hmm. But yeah, changing the time on the DS works just fine.
Because I remember waking up in the morning and then looking at my clock and be like, oh man, it's noon. I missed the ladybug.
Reset. Oh, the bug catching contest. We didn't even talk about
the bug catching contest.
You know what would be cool?
Which is the most fixed BS in the entire damn game.
Yeah, it really is. You
yeah,
have
I caught a level 13 Scyther that has over half health. I lost to a Weedle.
Yeah.
What is this bullshit?
Yeah, it's a little strange the way you have to win this bug catching contest. Pretty much you want to catch a rare Pokemon at as high a level as possible. Like, Scythers are good, Pinsers are good. They usually run like level 13 and 14. But you want to take a Pokemon with you that can either paralyze or put them to sleep and just start chucking Park Balls and try to catch them at full health. Because if you whittle them down, then you have less of a chance of winning, even though you have a much better Pokemon than Motherfucker Paul's Ladybug at level 9.
I just think, you know.
Yeah, maybe the game hates you.
I just think he slept with the judge. I really could do. Be. It's just kind of messed up.
Could be. We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know their lives.
They're sprites. We don't know what they are.
Yeah, they are lines of code. We don't know how they're intermingling. So, should we move on from Heart Gold, Soul Silver? Anything else you want to say about it?
No.
Okay.
No, we're good. Oh, we forgot about the stupid Pokeball thing.
Oh, yeah, you could craft Pokeballs, and that's not something that's popped up a whole lot anymore either.
Never again, actually.
I can't think of a... Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I wish I could still do that.
Yeah. See, the thing was, in the original, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the Game Boy Color versions, you could only give him one a day. But in these remakes, you could just give him all of, like, your red apricorns. And if you had 9 of them, then he would craft 9 level balls for you.
Oh, yeah, him. I was talking about the little Pokeball I came with.
Oh, the walker.
The walker.
The Poke Walker.
Let's
sure.
talk about the walker.
Yes, let's talk about the walker, please.
Let's talk about
down.
The Poke Walker. You can throw a Pokeball Pokemon in your Poke Walker and walk around with this Pokemon.
Yeah.
And do nothing with it.
Well, yeah, pretty much. That Pokemon gained experience really minimal, though. Like, yep. Yeah, it was very difficult to get a high level, like a little Pokemon leveled up to a high level through the Poke Walker. But something that could happen is you could have encounters with different Pokemon. And actually, friend of the show, Mitch, one time caught a...
Smoochum.
Yeah.
And Elekid.
Yeah. Through the Pokeball, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, screw him.
Elekid is pretty awesome anyway.
Yeah, Elekid's pretty
Smoochum,
cool.
Not so much.
Yeah, not really.
So, do you know if I'm right about that Apricorn thing, though? Do you remember crafting those Pokemon?
I can't remember.
Anyway. If I'm wrong, then...
Because, going through the remakes, I never used the balls anyways. I just used good old-fashioned Pokeballs.
Yeah, which I think, like, the first time I played through the remake, I was so impressed with, hey, like, I can go around and collect these things and give them 11 of them, and then I got 11 Quick Balls, which I can use instead of using actual Pokeballs. That might have been me trying to scrounge for money and save every little penny that I got, but Pokeballs are fucking cheap.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, spend all your money. Who cares?
I caught legendaries with Pokeballs.
Nice.
Who cares?
Did I? Yeah, I think I mentioned on the show. I don't think I mentioned to you, though. I think it was on a show with Ryan, and I might as well tell you, since I've told everyone else already, and you're the only one who doesn't know.
I'm a little hurt, John.
There was, in Pokemon X and Y, I don't know if you've gotten to the end, but, you know, each version has their exclusive legendary. In Pokemon X, it's the deer who, you know, has... X is on its body somewhere, and the Pokemon the in Y version is the bird whose, you know, wings make the shape of a Y. Anyway, there's also a Pokemon. Yeah, there's a Pokemon who's a dragon ground type in a cave, and his name starts with a Z. I can't pronounce it offhand here, but he was one of the last legendaries in the game that I hadn't caught. So I was like, okay, like a few months ago, I was like, okay, I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna go get this guy. I've used my Master Ball already, so I'm gonna stock up on 100 Ultra Balls, and I'm just gonna be ready just to whittle him down, paralyze him. I got my team ready. I got a guy who can paralyze. I got my level 100 Skizzer who's got False Swipe. He's gonna sit there and take a hit. I'm just gonna get him down and start chucking Ultra Balls at him. My first strategy was to make the battle last a really long time and try timer ball. It didn't work. He broke right out. I was like 60 turns into the battle. He broke right out anyway. Didn't make a difference. So I had my 100 Ultra Balls as a backup. Caught him on the third one. So I was sitting there with 97 Ultra Balls I was never going to fucking use. Turned around and sold him. But it was like, I was pleased. Like, it was a weird emotion because I was happy that I caught him so quickly. But I was kind of like, oh, now I got all of these Ultra Balls that I spent all this money on. And I'm talking like 500,000 yen in-game money. I spent a good chunk of money on these Ultra Balls and got him on the third one. So I felt like I'd made a poor investment, maybe, with this fake money. But let's move on, now that I've told you my sad story, to Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. And we've talked a little bit before about stuff that a remake of this game could use. But now that it's impending, the game is on the horizon. We are 5 months away from its release.
There is one little thing I really, really want to see.
Please, go
it's
on.
It's a minor thing.
Yes.
I forget what version it was. I think it was Diamond and Pearl, where you finally get your red shoes, you press one button, and you're running. You don't have to hold a button.
Sure.
You don't have to do any kind of
crap. Yeah, yeah.
You press one little button, and you're just running.
You just set it to default run.
Done. What's confusing about that?
Yeah,
That is wonderful.
Sure. That makes total sense.
I'll be ecstatic if they bring that back.
Now, what if we don't know what the graphic style is going to be, if they're going to like remake everything as polygons or if they're going to keep it like on a 2D plane. We don't know, but what if they did something this similar to what they did in X and Y, where they had the D-pad be walking and the circle pad be running?
I would be okay with that. I don't really like the circle pad.
Yeah,
I'm not a circle pad fan.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I usually find myself using the D-pad too. It just makes more sense. Yeah, the problem with, because in X and Y you had the circle pad to use the roller skates, which could be uncontrollable. It's not exactly ideal for precise movement.
Nope.
And then you had the D-pad, and you had to hold down the button to run. But yeah, why not just be able to set it to, I want my default movement to be run, and maybe if I hold down the button, then I can walk, if I really fucking feel like walking. There was an RPG, and
Final Fantasy VII?
It might have been Final Fantasy VII. You can just set it to default. Yeah, Final Fantasy VII.
You can set the default to run. Yeah, in order to walk, you had to hold like circle.
Yeah, which
Which
made total sense, because why would you ever want to walk?
Exactly.
Anyway,
why would I want to take longer to get to my spot?
The one I was thinking of, which isn't the correct example, but the one that kept coming to my mind was Final Fantasy VI. On the Super Nintendo, the only way you could run is if you equipped an item to a character called running shoes or sprint shoes.
Clever.
And that made your character move around, but only if it was equipped to someone who was currently in your party.
Okay.
So if that person left your party, you have to re-equip it to someone else or you gotta fucking walk. So I think this game could use a couple of things to kind of revamping it. The running shoes is a really great point, because you do get them so early on in the game, and this is the first game with actually used running shoes. I think it could use a little bit of type balancing. There's a really good variety of species early on, but you're running into a lot of water, grass, and flying and normal types.
Yeah.
And it's not until you're getting past like the third gym that you're starting to encounter other types.
There's one bug.
Yeah, there's just the one bug, which is kind of strange, because a lot of times there's a pretty good variety of bugs in the beginning. Actually, up until this generation there was, because you had both Weedle and Caterpie, and then...
Now they add the one bug, which randomly becomes one or the other.
Right.
Is it random, or is it, like, based on when it evolves?
It's based on its nature, which... This is the first generation that introduced natures, so it might as well have been fucking random. Because you didn't know what any of them meant. And I think at the time, the distinction was a detrimental nature turned it into the moth, and a positive nature turned it into the beautiful eye. But really, natures have evolved to be like... There's no such thing as, like, this is a detrimental nature, this is a beneficial nature, because all natures will benefit something and, like, subtract something.
Yeah, just be beneficial to what you want to add or subtract.
Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't really understand the distinction when... Maybe, like, the guide I was reading at the time was incorrect. So, you know, like I said, there's a good variety of species, which is what makes this game really good to Nuzlocke, is because you can go through it a couple of times and not use the same team twice. On my Nuzlocke, I don't have five Bidoofs. Whereas, like, Nuzlocking, like, Fire Red and Leaf Green, there's a pretty good chance you're going to end up with a lot of Rattatas, because they're fucking everywhere. And in this game, the type variety is good enough to where you're encountering a lot of Pokemon. But, you know, you... Just different types scattered throughout there. Like, maybe bring some more bugs up to the front. I don't know. There's stuff they could do. They got a Pokédex of, like, 250 to work with there in that generation. Another thing that bugs me about this third generation game is there's basically that loop from Slateport down or up to... up and around the volcano, and then down through the mountain where you catch the Solrocks and the Lunatones. And you basically have to make that loop around two or three times if you're being thorough through the game. And they basically keep you running around in that area for a pretty big chunk of the game. Because if you want to get the experience here, you got to work your way back around to... Oh, shoot, what's the town called? It's not Petalburg. Petalburg's where your dad is, where you have to fight dad.
Yep.
Anyway, but the geography of the game isn't ideal for really good pacing. Like, a lot of times you feel like the game is kind of dragging on, especially in this particular section, and especially because the world definitely doesn't feel as vibrant as Heart Gold and Soul Silver, or just Soul or Gold and Silver, because there's, like, this is one of the games where it's symptomatic of a lot of Pokemon games where you're just going to the next town, you're finding the gym, you're getting out. I can't recall a single town where you go into and some sort of shit's going down. You're just, and a lot of towns are pretty small, and the most recent one that me and Ryan both just wrapped up, Four Tree Town, it's literally just a town with a couple of tree houses and a gym, and it's the sixth gym. At this point, you'd, like, think the game was starting to ramp up a little bit, but nope. Your only obstacle in the town is that there's an invisible lizard blocking the gym, and you have to take 20 steps about that way, to the right.
I like how you said that way and gestured on a podcast.
I'm doing it mostly for you, Wes.
I appreciate
it. Just doing it for you. And you talk to a guy that you've encountered a few times before, and he gives you an item. Like, here's some binoculars that let you see invisible lizards. Gotcha, now I can go fight that gym. And it's just something that the game really lacks conflict and some stakes. Something interesting going on in it.
If you like, while you're playing, I can just sit there and slap you repeatedly.
I would not like, but if you want to do that when we're not playing the game, I'd be okay. Oh, and he followed through. I thought I had called you out on your shit. Hoisted by my own petard.
There you go.
Unbelievable. So, one thing that they could do is they could beef up the conflict with Team Aqua and Team Magma. Because you've encountered them a few times.
Who gives a shit about these guys?
Right. Like, one of them's like, we want more land. And the other's like, no, we want more water. And who cares?
Yeah.
Like, I don't... Because Team Rocket, like, they weren't, like, threatening, but they were guys who
they wanted world domination.
At least you like to beat up on
them.
They had
a clear set goal.
Here
you're like in between two rival gangs that are like playing around for turf, and they're just, it's pathetic.
And
it's very, very pathetic.
The side you choose is locked to the version of the game you have.
Exactly.
And
you can't even pick.
Yeah, I'm really not interested in the conflict of Team Aqua and Team Magma. So something to make them a little bit more interesting would be good. And the thing is, when they show up, I'm just rolling my eyes. When Team Rocket shows up, I'm like, okay, great. Someone I can beat up on. Good.
Let's kill some rats.
But when, like, I'm playing the Sapphire version, so Team Aqua is the team that I guess I am rivaled to. And when I see them show, I'm like, okay, great. Just throw out my Manectric, mow through them real quick. Let's move on. I don't care about what's going on with them. And, oh, something that I wanted to ask you. You've played Emerald version before, yes?
No.
No, you've never? Oh, okay. I was going to ask you how you figure out who's the...
I don't know.
...evil...
I'm not that far.
How far are you?
Don't ask questions you don't want to know the answers
just,
to.
Just have you gotten your first Pokemon yet? Have you left home?
I've left home.
Okay. Have you walked into the tall grass?
I walked into the tall grass.
Who'd you pick? Who's your Pokemon?
I picked Treecko because you and Ryan had already picked your guys.
Oh, that's right. How's he working out? Have you fought a battle with him yet?
Yeah, it's Treecko.
Yeah? He sure is. He'll learn Leaf.
He's got to absorb.
He'll learn Leaf Blade at like level 34.
Stand back, he's got to absorb.
Everyone look out.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I like Treecko as like a character design, but yeah,
he's terrible.
His moveset,
he's so bad.
Like for a while, his best moves are going to be like Absorb and Pursuit, which is sad.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
And Quick Attack, don't forget Quick Attack.
Yeah, Quick Attack and Pound. He's got those
very
two moves.
Critical.
Those are two moves that he definitely learns. you know who I don't like in Ruby and Sapphire is Wally.
Oh yeah, super annoying guy.
He's basically like that sickly kid that you're forced to take pity on and catch him a Pokemon. And
the bullies are mean to him, so you have to be his friend to make him feel better so he doesn't kill himself in the 10th grade.
And he really fucking pissed me off in this Nuzlocke because I would have really liked to have a Ralts. I would have liked to have had a Psychic type on my team. And no, he's a rare drop. And when you're crawling around in the tall grass, even like using my cheating method of like being able to go through five battles before I pick someone, if I have everyone already, I could not get a Ralts. And I have to take this little fucker out into the grass to catch him a Pokemon. And what's the first one he finds? What's the first one he always fucking finds? It's a fucking Ralts.
Yeah.
And he's always just such a little bitch.
Gardevoir is nice.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
Uh-huh.
Good moveset.
You could use one if you ever get that far.
I do, in my ex.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, I remember
You got me the Gardevoirite.
Yep, I sure did.
Yep.
Being nice right there. What do you think? There's not much interaction with May. Do you think we could use more of her in these remakes?
I think it's fine. I mean, she shows up just as much as your other rivals did in the other games. Game, you have two rivals, and Wally shows up all the time. May's like, oh yeah, I forgot about you.
Yeah, and maybe that's why you don't see as much of May, because I actually do think you see a lot more of Gary, I guess, in the first version, and, I don't know, Douche and Gen 2. You're running into them quite a bit, and they're much better rivals.
I always forget, what's the name of your rival if you start off as a girl?
I don't remember.
Because you're May, so it's just weird. I mean, you're like two Mays, and you're just kind of staring at each other. Like,
no,
oh, this is awkward.
Isn't the other sprite then default?
Probably, but I have no idea what his name is.
I guess we could like delete a file, and we wouldn't have to delete a file. We could just start a new game and not save it.
Yeah,
that's something they let you do.
I'm just kind of curious.
And in later versions, like I forget where they do this. Maybe it was the fourth gen they started this, or maybe it was the fifth. It wouldn't let you even start a new game until you deleted your old file.
Yeah.
And I guess that was like to keep little brothers from saving over your old file where you already had 130 Pokemon. I'm not bitter. I'm just saying these things happen.
I'm not bitter.
Technically, it was his cartridge. I shouldn't be mad. So. Oh, and speaking of deleting things, why the fuck can't we delete HMs yet? And especially a game like Ruby and Sapphire, which are super heavy on HMs. Why can't you just delete over an
Pretty
HM?
Pretty much all the moves you get are HMs. The majority of them are friggin' HMs.
Yeah. And since...
And useless gym TMs that they give you for winning. Like, oh, gee, thanks. Oh, yeah, I got Whirlwind or whatever. What the fuck do I mean to do with this?
Yeah, that's... Thanks for Bide.
I'm gonna
teach that to my guy right away. And that's another good point. Just revamping the TMs that are available, like that you get in the game, would be nice.
Yeah.
Because TMs and HMs are basically the same now, because they're both reusable. You can just use HMs outside of battle. And I get that maybe at one point it was useful to have TMs, or I'm sorry, HMs just be undeletable, because you don't want to get the player stuck anywhere, but I don't even know if that would be the case, because if you delete an HM, you could just reteach it, because you carry it around with you.
Exactly.
So I don't understand like why we've never been able to just delete HMs for another move if we're done with it, or we don't want that Pokemon to know that move anymore. Why do we have to go to a special guy who apparently hits your Pokemon over the head with a mallet until he forgets that fucking move? And it just make it to where if it's learning a new move, we can delete the HM if we don't want it anymore. Because if we really need it, we'll just reteach it.
Yeah.
Because in Ruby Sapphire, you in order to like fully explore the map, if you're going just like item hunting, or if you're just trying to look around at everything, you basically need two HM slaves. Because there's all those like there's dive and waterfall. There's whirlpool.
Although I do like waterfall. Waterfall is actually a pretty good move.
Waterfall, yeah. I taught that to my Caracosta in the fifth gen, and he's a fucking killer with it.
Oh yeah.
I love waterfall with that move. And what else? We've already mentioned reusable like HMs or TMs, which is something that's just kind of that's kind of a staple of Pokemon.
I just can't wait to get my Torkoal back again. I love Torkoal.
You should name it Gonzalez. I caught a Torkoal in a Nuzlocke run, and I named him Gonzalez. Seems appropriate.
That seems weird.
Why? It seems perfect for a Torkoal. Gonzalez. It just seems to fit.
Why is he Spanish?
I really had no ethnicity ideas behind it. Like, Ryan brought up the same thing. Like, I mentioned on our Nuzlocke discussion that I named him Gonzalez. And he's like, oh, that's great, because of his fiery Latin temper. Not not really. I just like the name Gonzalez for this turtle. It seems... I think it was mainly because of Speedy Gonzalez, and turtles are slow, so it's kind of ironic.
Go to Mexico, and you'll get tired of the name Gonzalez really quick.
I think there are a lot of things that get tired of Mexico. I think...
The banditos would be one of them.
Of the things I get tired of in Mexico, the name Gonzalez would be really low on the list.
Like, okay, give me like a improv top three things you get tired of the most, quickest.
Dysentery. Worms in the alcohol. And dysentery. And I don't mean to offend any Mexican listeners we may or may not have.
If you happen to have dysentery.
it's a terrible affliction. And I don't mean to just blanketly vilify an entire nation, but Mexico's a terrible place. Terrible.
Why you sugarcoat it a little bit? Dear God, John.
What else do we want to say about Alpha and Omega? Ruby Sapphire here. I'm excited about these remakes. Are you? You gonna play them on that 2DS of yours?
Betcha.
Good.
I almost bought that 3DS I had at work.
Oh, the one that was $75.
Guess what? No. Before I got a chance to buy it, my coworker bought it because our discount off of clearance items went up.
Oh, nice.
75%.
Oh, wow. 75% off of the 70?
$30.
That's a pretty sweet deal. Shit, you can't even find like a DS Fat for $30.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And my coworker snagged it before I could. Wow. I was super mad.
Did you beat him with it?
I should have.
Yeah.
But he's got a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I left Daddy's plenty coming home of kids fatherless. I don't need to keep adding to them.
A few motherless, too. Should we end it on that note? Is that how we should close it out?
As making me a woman killer? No.
Orphaning children.
No, dear God.
The woman killer, the orphan maker. I'm going to introduce you as that from now on.
Oh, God. And here's Wes, the orphan maker.
Here's my great co-host, Wes, the lady killer, the orphan maker. Oh, man. But when you say it like this, it's coming out in November, which is 5 months away. That is a really quick turnaround.
Yeah, it really is.
It'll be over a year since the last Pokemon game. I don't know. I think after this particular remake, we might be getting a breather from Pokemon for a while, because we've been getting Pokemon games every year for a while now.
Yeah.
Because we got, of course, Black and White, I think a couple years after the Gold Silver remakes. And then we got Black 2, White 2, X and Y, and now we're getting Ruby Sapphire. I think the past 4 years we've been getting a Pokemon game.
And I mean, they can't really give us a remake of Diamond Pearl anytime soon.
No, it'd be a little soon for that. Yeah, I think, well, you know, we'll get into my complaints about Diamond and Pearl when we actually talk about the game. But
how slow-paced it was, and how I wanted to take a nap every single time I played it.
Yeah, that's about it.
Bronzong.
Yeah, Bronzong is pretty bad too. Just the overall Pokédex. Like, it was half original and half old ones, but the original ones, most of them weren't that great, and the ones that were returning, half of them you didn't give a shit about.
Exactly. I don't care about Tentacool.
Like, why do we want Tentacool? Why do we always need Tentacool, Zubat, and Geodude? The only fire types were Infernape and Rapidash.
Ponyta, yep.
And there was a fucking fire gym leader. There's like, well, we got two fire types in the game. What gym leaders do we have? Hey, how about a fire guy? Oh, wait, no. It wasn't a gym leader. It was Elite Four.
Yep.
Two fire types in the game, and there was an Elite Four member who used fire types.
And he ended up just having guys who could use fire moves, and they weren't even freaking fire types.
Right. Yeah, he had a skunk tank or something.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Absurd.
That was nuts.
Just absurd. Anyway. Well, there we go. We got our rant about the fourth generation.
There we go.
Like, I'm not sure which generation I dislike more. Like, I don't, like, hate either the third or the fourth generation, but they're definitely at the bottom of the list of Pokemon games.
There was a lot of cool stuff that happened in Diamond Pearl, opposed to Ruby, where Ruby was just mostly bland through the majority of the game.
Mm.
I mean, if they could just take the nice Pokedex of Ruby and throw it in Diamond, I think you got a really solid game there.
Yeah, and maybe mix it up a little bit. Yeah, the geography of the fourth generation I liked a little bit more. I like the way you progress through the map a bit more.
And there's actually crap you had to do here and there.
Yeah, true. I don't remember, like, who was the rival? Was it, like, Team Plasma? Like, the villain through the game?
No, was it Plasma, or was it, like, what was it called, like, Zero, or?
I don't know.
Yeah.
One day we'll get back to playing that game. That's going to bring this Pokemon show to a close. Here's a bit of surprise news. On Tuesday or Wednesday of this coming week, me and Ryan are going to do another Pokemon show where we're going to continue our Nuzlocke. Yeah, so there's going to be a double dip of Pokemon this month. We shouldn't make too many plans, but after the Pokemon show, we're going to do a mini show, and that'll be our E3 show, where we talk about all the Nintendo stuff that went down and hopefully have some cool stuff to talk about. We'll see. And then following that will be, of course, the Super Nintendo show and the official show to wrap up the month. So, until next time, everybody.
So long.